You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Art can transform a community. I think we can all agree to that. And it doesn't need to be on a statue in the center of town to do so. In fact, a creative corner of a neighborhood can bring people together to work and share and get to know each other while making an empty space a point of community pride. The League of Creative Interventionists, aka The League, organizes projects like these in cities all over the country, including right here in Charlotte. Locally, they have just named their 2019 and 2020 Creative Interventionist Fellows. And we are lucky enough to have one of them right here today on Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Welcome, Alex Alcorn. I'm DC Lucchese, sitting in for the vacationing Scott Pridemore. And I'm here with our co-host, Mike Hagee.
That's right. Alex, we are super excited that you're here today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely.
That intro was amazing. I think you said it better than I could, so I feel like the job is done.
All right, great. Well, thanks for joining
us on the podcast.
Yeah.
We all understand.
DC's got that late night radio DJ voice.
Yeah.
That kind of goes a couple octaves a little lower.
Yeah.
And so we feel soothing when you're feeling. Just so you know, great. DC.
Thank you. Glad you're here.
We're missing Scott right now.
Yes, absolutely.
We are. Alex, you're an arts activist.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Sure. Yeah.
But your background is community health.
Wow. You know, on the way here, I was like, what are they going to ask? And I just felt it. I was like, that's coming.
It's coming. Which even includes work as a fellow in the city manager's office.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit back? We reverse engineer a few years back before you got into the league.
Yeah.
And achieving the fellows, which is an awesome honor.
Yeah.
Tell us about your journey.
My journey has not been linear. It has been a winding path that brought me to where I am. And I feel like I'm in a great place now. I went into public health understanding that public health is more than how people typically might think of it, which is fighting infectious disease, talking about preventing obesity, sort of historically what we've seen public health really the work that it does in communities. I understood public health as community health, and that's really broad. That's not just people's physical and mental health. It's how connected communities are. It's those neighbor-to-neighbor relationships. It's the existence of public art in communities that creates a place for people to come together. So it's also the social health, the financial health of communities. And, you know, I think 3 years ago, I didn't have the vocabulary to describe it this way, but it's really about community resilience. And community health being a community's ability to stand in the face of challenges and sort of weather whatever storm that might be, whether it's a literal storm, a hurricane, or or like the economic collapse of 2008 and what that looks like on the ground in neighborhoods. So I came out of I was a science kid in undergrad. Went to school for biology, but that gave me this systems understanding of the human experience, thinking about how it ties to psychology and things like environmental concerns. And so all along, I think I've had this sort of more global perspective on systems, whether that's on an individual level or an actual systems and structural level.
I thought you said cool. You didn't have the vocabulary for that.
I was like, that sounded pretty good.
I
was like,
I hope so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, an answer.
Biology interest to art.
Yeah.
There's definitely a transcending.
Art,
and
yeah.
Art does bring a lot of people together for a variety of reasons.
It does.
So did that interest in art start before biology, or was it always there?
Yeah, so I grew up very fortunate to be raised in a household where there was a strong emphasis on involvement in a lot of things, including the arts. And so my parents put me into piano lessons when I was young. One of the other first sort of like activities that I got into when I was like 4 or 5 years old was dance. And so I grew up very much appreciating the role that art can play in somebody's life. And as I, got into my teenage, young adult years, I was performing as a musician. I was sort of like in choir and back in dance and all of these different things. And then as I sort of got into my 20s, still had this deep appreciation for the arts and started to understand from a public health perspective the things that we know, that arts, education have help students have better outcomes academically and behaviorally. And so there are things that we understand that there's a ton of research on about the benefits of the arts. But then I began to have an even deeper understanding of the arts in terms of the ability of the arts to create spaces where it's, for some reason, it seems safer to talk about really tough issues. I don't know if it's because people can communicate it through the art, which then feels in some way like there's one level of detachment from that thing they're putting out in the world. And then in the same respect, people that are consuming it or digesting it also are digesting the art and not all, it's like less personal, but it's still very personal. So it's sort of hard for me to describe, but I think about that. And then I think about the arts as this mechanism to get people to think creatively, whether they're creating the art or consuming it and interacting with it. And with all of the challenges we're seeing today in our communities, we're seeing that like what we're doing is not working, that things like, you know, poverty and homelessness and food insecurity, these issues are not getting better for a lot of people. They're getting worse or staying stagnant. And so I think now in this moment, it's really important to think about the arts as a way to get people to creative solutions through a creative thinking process. And to really help us approach these challenges differently moving forward.
So how does the league help foster that communication and that pathway to solution?
So the league, first and foremost, is sponsored by the Knight Foundation and other funders, but locally the Knight Foundation has been really strong in that. So one really important part of the work is that we have resources to work with. So we get... you know, we have financial resources, we have material resources to be able to do this work. And the league really is grounded in this idea of equity and access. And so the league brings on people who are deeply rooted in communities, who are grounded in the principles of equity and access. And when we're all in a room together, creatively collaborating, there's this unique energy. And the league provides us the freedom to really use that energy to work with communities. We talk a lot about working with communities and not doing something for communities and really trying to transform the practice of how we approach this work. We do work quickly. We have resources, but it's sort of like a kind of a low, budget, quick way to do these what we call interventions. And the idea is to do it and to learn and to try again and like really just test things and see how it goes.
Hit us with an example of that.
Sure. Yeah. So I can talk about my projects that I'm doing this year. My project will be a mobile makerspace.
Cool.
I'm super excited about it. So the idea is bringing tools to communities that will create space for creativity to happen, where people can create freely. And so the idea is I'll pack up a rent-by-the-hour truck with a bunch of supplies for arts or creative projects, whether that be canvases and paint or sewing machines and fabric, supplies to make jewelry, and unpack in a neighborhood on the street on a Saturday when the weather gets nice, and do a lot of work before that to understand what sort of activities the community might want to participate in, and then do a lot of work to make sure the communities know that this is happening. And in my mind, I'm hoping to inspire the next generation of creative interventionists. It'll be an intergenerational activity where I hope that people as young as toddlers all the way up to their grandparents are in the same space doing things together or next to each other. But leading up to that, I'm doing pop-up maker spaces. Going like about a week or two ago, I was in Lakeview at their community meeting and brought what I called engineering kits. I just packed paper bags with craft sticks, wooden clothespins, and pipe cleaners and paint, and told the kids to build a structure or build whatever they wanted to. And that's all they needed to know. They loved it. I had 25 of them. Immediately, they were gone. And it kept the kids busy during the community meeting so their parents could socialize and, like, take in the information they needed. So on multiple levels, it was really fun and really cool. All the kids made something different. But the idea is just like to get people thinking creatively.
I love that. How did you determine Lakeview and East Charlotte? What was the connection there?
Yeah, so the fellows from the last couple of years had already established relationships and done work in Lakeview. So last year, Quintel Gwynn and the other fellows worked really hard to do a project where they resurfaced a basketball court and worked with the young people in the Lakeview community. Quinn is on the board of the Lakeview Association. And so in addition to everything, the grounding principles that we abide by, we're also grounded in this idea of sustainable ongoing interaction and not just kind of one and done projects. And so we're committed to continuing to build the relationship and the work in Lakeview. But I have lived on the east side since I moved to Charlotte almost 6 years ago. And so I'm familiar with those communities and wanted to bring some tools over there and do some of the work over there too.
That's pretty cool. I grew up in Oakhurst, so.
Oh, awesome.
In East Charlotte. So yeah. I'm in East Mac, and there you have it. So yeah. Very, very familiar with those areas as well and love it. Where did you move from? Just curious.
Minneapolis. Okay, suburbs. Wow. Yeah.
Very different Minneapolis suburbs to East Charlotte.
Super different. Yeah. Very different. Yeah. Well, and before I moved here from Minneapolis, I was living in Minneapolis proper and had gone to school at the University of Minnesota. Yeah, the cultural change is interesting, has been interesting, and is one that I think about a lot still because as people ask me, like, how did I get into this work? I think through that question and I look back to the communities I came from and this culture of civic engagement that is really strong in the Twin Cities area. So it's a beautiful place.
It's awesome. And you bring that diversity here to Charlotte and
yeah,
spreading that, which yeah. is phenomenal. And I mean, you talk about a way, we were listening and kind of studying the work you were doing in Lakeview just a couple weeks ago and even before that, but talking about the way to amplify community capacity.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly?
So communities have existing assets. There are people in communities. Those people are doing great work, have been doing great work. We just brought on to the league in Charlotte what we're calling a community fellow. You know, it's about really recognizing the work that's going on and celebrating that and making sure, like, first of all, on a very basic level, not to replicate it, but the people in these communities that we're working with that are doing the work on the ground every day and have been there for years or decades, they're the ones that most know what the challenges are and most know what the solutions are. So, we recognize that we bring, tools, we have ideas that we come in with, but we really try to make a very sincere and authentic effort to take an asset-based approach instead of a disparities-based approach.
That's pretty cool. And it definitely impacts the community in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our thought is if we can identify existing leadership and sort of amplify that leadership and then help that leadership grow in the community, then when inevitably someday we might not have the resources to be there anymore, the work will still continue.
What's the project you're most excited about that the league is working on? And I guess secondarily to that, or parallel to that, if you will, how did you get involved in the league in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, selfishly, I'm most excited about my own project.
Well, you know? Okay, fair, it's like, fair. That's fair.
But
and I should have caveated that with, aside from your project, tell us something else that the league is working on that you're excited about.
Yeah.
And then tell us about how you got involved with the league in the first place.
Sure. So the league, this ongoing work with Lakeview is sort of in this phase where we're figuring out what's next. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working with our community fellow, Leandra, to identify, based on the needs that we know are there, what makes the most sense for what we do next? Now that we resurface this basketball court, I'm doing the mobile makerspace. My colleague Brandon is helping the community build a community garden. And so I think I'm excited just to see this work continue to blossom. It's not rooted in like what we're specifically going to do, but it's really special to go to these community meetings and events and see the energy and see how open people have been to me because of the hard work that Quinn and the past fellows did in that community. And so her bringing in Brandon and I, introducing us, says something that she trusts us, and then the community, you know, trusts in Quinn and the league. And so I'm just excited to see that energy continue. I initially got involved because I was aware of the league's work. I actually met Quinn almost immediately after I moved to Charlotte, like within a year of being here. We were at a community conversation together, sitting in a room with, like, you know, it was a very Charlotte kind of event. The panel in the front talking about, you know, some socioeconomic issue.
Right.
And Quinn tweeted something, and I tweeted something as well. And I think I saw her tweet, and then I tweeted at Quinn, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? Because we were, like, thinking and saying the same thing on social media in this room where we were sort of sitting there being like, what's the point of this conversation? What's going to come of it? Is anyone going to act, or are we just going to talk about it? And this was 5 years ago or something. So after the event was over, I went over to her and I introduced myself and I said, I'm the one who tweeted at you. And I gravitated toward her energy. And so then I followed what Quinn was doing for those 5 years until I joined the league. And she joined the league 2 years ago. And so I was aware of the work because of that. And I really wanted to work with Quinn. I just felt like she and I have this connection. And now I'm lucky to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Who knew a tweet would, you know, yeah, kind of right? open up? Hey, I tweeted at you. How often can you say that in a room, right?
Right, and be, like, excited about
it. And be excited about, like, which tweet?
Which one?
Yeah, which one? Did you retweet or with comments, or did you, you know?
Yeah, and like, I cleaned up my Twitter pretty hard when I got my job, my current job. So I don't know if that tweet still exists. But yeah, Twitter has, you know, positive things can come from social media sometimes. Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, to that end, I mean, like a neighborhood is, you know, physically on the ground, a community, there is a community, I'm sure, that virtually participates with the league. You know, how does one do that? And, or how does one physically actually participate with the league? Or is that even a possibility?
Oh, sure. In terms of, like, people are interested, they want to get involved.
Sure.
Yeah. I've had some friends who have seen me posting on my own social media about the work I'm doing. And so they've reached out and said, hey, I want to volunteer for your mobile makerspace. That is awesome. I have a running list. Same with if people are interested in community gardening or neighborhood organizing. Like, there's a ton of work that can be done from going door to door and handing out resources to, you know, like, helping us pack and unpack a U-Haul truck in the spring. But more than that, people can donate to the league.
Yes.
I think Janelle is going to be happy that I'm saying this.
I'm certain of that.
But we are a nonprofit. And so we, you know, to keep doing this work, we need donations and we need sponsorships so organizations can sponsor. Mm-hmm. We have like wish lists on Amazon and maybe a few other retailer sites where if people don't want to donate money, but they want to buy a bunch of paintbrushes for the makerspace, then they can do that. And quarterly we host community conversations. I think we should call it like community co-intervention creation. That's a lot to say. But what we do, we just did one last quarter and we're starting on implementing the strategy. We invite anyone, it's open to the public, anyone to this conversation. It happens here at Huga. We say the theme, for example, last month was solidarity. You all get to act as interventionists for the afternoon. What kind of creative intervention would you plan to promote solidarity in Charlotte? And then the groups, people divided into groups and came up with ideas, and then they voted and decided on an idea. So we're doing that three more times in this spring. Two more times.
Excellent.
So people can come to that.
Before I ask my next question, what was the idea they came up with and settled on?
Yeah. I was curious too.
It's like wait a minute. Now, hold on.
Suspense.
And so it's interesting because they come and they give us these wonderful ideas, but ultimately we're charged with figuring out how to make that happen.
Right.
Hoping that people come back to help us.
fair point.
Good tie-in.
But they really wanted to work with young people in Charlotte. And so the idea they came up with was like a TEDx-style conference for young people to be able to talk on the issues that they care about and have a space to use their voices.
Very cool.
The idea that of these interventions is that we implement them within the quarter that we have that sort of conversation mm-hmm. with the community. And so we had to scale it so that it was feasible within the given time frame. And so what we're doing actually today, Brandon and I are going to meet with a group of students from Myers Park and Geringer High Schools. They're in a group called Wake Up, and mm-hmm. they were featured in the recent Queen City Nerve article. So we learned about them. They're essentially doing what we wanted to amplify, which is doing research on and speaking to issues that they're passionate about. They do research for a year and then have a conference in April where they present on these on their research. And in the interim, they do community engagement, community service projects. So we're meeting with them at Geringer High School today. And I think our approach is going to be to say, what work are you already doing that we can help you amplify? If you're doing research, can we help you collect research? Can we get you into creative spaces to share your work? So we'll see what they want to do, but I'm excited to, feel where the energy in the room is once we meet with them.
How can the listeners find more about the League of Creative Interventionists?
We have a website. I think it's the League of Creative Interventionists.com, but I always say like Google the League of Creative Interventionists,
Fair enough.
I don't know. Does anybody memorize domain names anymore?
Like you said earlier, I don't have the vocabulary for that. And I don't have the memory space for that either. So it's like
the abbreviated one.
So let's say this. Let me correct what I said. You can Google the League of Creative Interventionists. We also have social media accounts. We have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We both have national League of Creative Interventionist accounts and accounts specific to Charlotte because we're a national organization with chapters also in Akron and Charleston.
Huh?
So they're doing cool work as well.
Spreading it all over.
There you go.
Is that the intent to continue
to grow?
Yeah,
the League was started in San Francisco and grew a strong Charlotte chapter because of local leadership and our local leadership from the Knight Foundation and people like Quinn and Rebecca and Janelle, the past fellows. And now we have Janelle Logan as our executive director. So it's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. I'm really glad you joined us today. Alex Alcorn, League of Creative Interventionist, aka The League.
Thank you.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.